she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies.
Good morning to you. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
We got Nathan Wood, Nate Dogg, filling in for Colby this week.
We should all be so lucky to have Nate Wood in the building.
I'm excited.
We feel privileged.
We're about to blow your mind. As you see, we already danced during the theme song. I can tell you're over there like stifling your laughter.
He's eye rolling.
He's trying not to laugh at us because he thinks he's laughing at us and not with us.
We think he's laughing with
us. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Let's just keep thinking
we know.
That.
You can laugh along with us as well. Our phone number to the studio is 877-881-1053. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And you can call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 97. Let's put it this way. You should call Autoflex.
Yes.
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. Always the all-important Autoflex.com. If you want to start the deal online.
Mm-hmm. If you are driving a Hyundai Sonata, you're probably going to want to pay attention to this story.
Yeah, I posted this on the Facebook page last night. That's the Autoflex.com Facebook page. If you're driving a Hyundai Sonata, you may have a little problem. Almost 400,000 Hyundai Sonatas are being recalled because of rear suspension control arm problems related to rust.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's a lot of cars, by the way, 2006 through 2008 Sonatas. So if you are driving one, you might want to head to your local dealer and have them check it. Hyundai has said, of course, in any case, they will take the appropriate action.
So what does it end up doing to the car?
Well, it can end up causing the ABS system to react and break when you don't want
good.
It to.
The electronic stability system is affected. Apparently, this is the rear suspension control arm.
Yeah.
Failure has been related to this subframe rust.
And by saying that's not good, you are the master of understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Ungood.
It is very ungood if you're driving it and the back wheels lock up.
The other day, I actually saw a Tesla driving down 75, and I don't see them that often.
You weren't here.
We actually drove a Tesla.
We reviewed one 2 weeks ago.
All right, I want to hear about it. Just a quick recap.
It's real quiet.
They're very quiet. Yeah, they're amazingly quiet. You can hear the tires roll. There's no engine noise.
Yeah.
They're very fast. The car is well appointed inside and out. It's got really cool video screens. It's got big video.
17-inch
monitor.
Hey, that's really cool.
And you can flip it up and down. If you want your rear view camera on all the time, you can put it on. It's like having a little TV looking out the back.
Fun.
You can see who's pulling around you that way.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Which is also nice because you can, I think that gives you better visibility.
Right, no blind spots.
Oh, right.
And David, I know you're a speed demon. How fast did you get it?
Very.
You don't want to be on record.
No, but you could watch the battery just being sucked down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it was, let me tell you what, it's tremendous acceleration. There's no run-up. It's because it's not a traditional combustion engine. It just zip. You know, you just instant power when you push
throws
on it.
Throws your head back.
Yeah,
yes.
It's very, very quick.
And there's
very,
not goody handle on the side.
Oh, no?
There's nothing to hold on to for the passenger.
What kind of handle?
Oh, goody.
I never heard that before.
No, I've heard the rated R version of that.
Yeah.
Say it on the radio.
They should probably put an oh, goody handle on there.
Exactly.
Oh, goody. Here we go.
Interesting thing. If you're going to spend $100,000, if you can afford the car and the charger, which is another $2,500, and you know, it's a really great driving car. Down here, it's probably fine. If it's really cold, after all the press, I don't know if I'd drive one up there in the Great North. Because I think the cold affects the battery life and but with a 300-mile range, you can drive it to Houston if you wanted to.
They're not going to have a lot of sales up there in Alaska.
Right.
Probably not.
are chargers universal for electric cars?
Yes.
If you have
plug-ins?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have a charger.
But is it universal?
Right, or do you have to get one from your manufacturer
doubtful.
And it only works for that brand?
I'm sure it's only
brand.
For your car. Because this one also has
like
different batteries. It's like a whole bunch of laptop batteries,
It's got an array of laptop batteries that cover the entire floor of the car, basically, and that's how the batteries run. Got an eight-year warranty on the batteries. To upgrade to the extended-range batteries were $20,000. So,
and to replace one of those?
Probably $20,000, I'm guessing.
Man.
You want to be the
car.
First owner.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, and speaking of Tesla, so glad you segued right into that. Tesla has now taken on the Texas franchise law to try to put factory stores in Texas. Now, you know, they had a bit of a win in Minnesota because the Minnesota Franchise Dealers Association decided not to pursue them on their challenge of the law in Minnesota. But now here's the difference. The law in Minnesota had to do with competing dealers in the same vicinity, mm-hmm. owned by franchisees, and it prevented manufacturers from putting competing dealers in the same vicinity. Mm-hmm. The Texas law prevents a manufacturer from owning a retail outlet. It is a completely different dog, and it has been challenged many times and never been won. In fact, Ford has tried to challenge it. Some other corporations have tried to challenge it. So we'll see what happens. But the Texas Automobile Dealers Association is vigorously opposing the legislation. And let me tell you, they are the second most powerful lobby in Austin, the Texas Automobile Dealers Association, second only to the realtors. So they it's pretty doubtful that Tesla will pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
And Tesla's big deal is they want to own the retail facilities and control all of the the factory wants to own all of the transaction so that they don't have franchisees, they don't have dealers, they want to own everything. The problem with that is it gives them total, total price control. And that's why the franchise system was put in place to begin with, was to protect consumers. With the current consumer-friendly government that we have in the United States, everyone's worried about consumer rights, it's very unlikely that there would be a big push to allow Tesla to own their own stores in Texas.
Are there any manufacturers who do own their own?
Negative.
No.
And in Texas, it's absolutely against the law because they are prohibited from owning an outlet. There are other states where the laws aren't that stringent. And a few years ago, Ford, in fact, tried to open a number of their own factory stores, or they bought some stores back and tried to operate them. They lost $2 billion in 4 years.
Man.
Yeah. So anyway.
But stay tuned. Week after week, we'll keep you guys posted on how this progresses or doesn't.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. We've had an AutoFlex leasing fan text. Does the Hyundai recall affect Kia? No, these were on Hyundai Sonatas, primarily.
No mention of Kia at all.
It was not mentioned.
So but you're safe if you're one of those little hamsters driving around.
You can drive. You can drive to your local dealer if you have a Kia and you have the model that would be the other model, mm-hmm. and have them check it.
Yeah,
there you go.
Or just pick up the phone and call them.
Let's talk about Fords.
Yeah, here we go. This is an interesting thing. Lawyers are an amazing group of people because here's what you've got.
That was a nice way to put it.
Yes. trial lawyers, particularly for all of our trial lawyer listeners out there.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a lawsuit filed on behalf of Ford owners in 14 states seeking class action status because the cars may have unintended acceleration. Sound familiar, folks?
Like Toyota.
Like Toyota. Except this is a little different because they are suing because between 2002 and 2010, Ford did not have a system built into the car to protect you if you hit the brake and the accelerator at the same time. You might call that an
Ford
idiot.
Ford didn't protect you from yourself.
Stick.
I'm so sorry.
Now, in 2010, Ford put in the brake override technology in all their vehicles, and mm-hmm. from 2010 forward. But the lawyers group has sued because the cars from 2002 to 2010 didn't have brake override technology. Now, that's not how their suit reads, but that's the reality of the suit.
It might be a silly question, but do most cars have that?
Yes, now they do.
Okay.
But 2002, 2010, nobody knew.
Mm-hmm.
And they're suing them because of a technology that wasn't predominant at the time to protect people from their own big feet. So I love their attorneys.
Or bad
though.
Driving. Have you ever been in a car with somebody who rides
the
on
both feet at the same
yes.
time? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the attorney's comment. For too long, Ford has put its own financial interest ahead of consumer safety. Well,
shocking.
There you have it. I'm amazed.
Wow. It does. Wow. Yeah. It's shocking that people can actually do both at the same time.
But it happens all the time.
It's like when you're texting, though, and you hit two buttons at the same time. People always blame fat fingers, so I guess fat feet.
Will there be lawsuits that
sue the telephone
companies for, you know, that auto correct they auto-correct or something when they, for sending the wrong words.
They put the wrong word in there and embarrass you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That always happens.
Get ready, lawyers. There's your next big idea.
I accidentally sent this to my boss. And it's something really bad. Oh, all right. Well, we got
to
take it.
I wanted to send hire me, but I sent bite me. I don't.
Right. The funny thing is, sometimes it's words I've never used before.
Right.
Like, I can't think of one that I used lately, but it'll come up on my phone, and I'm like, I've never once typed that. Like, nanny pants. What does that mean?
Oh, exactly.
Why did that come up on my phone?
What were you? I just want to know what you were trying to type when you got that.
I mean, it's just one of those things where I don't know where my phone thought of it, but there's a whole website dedicated to that. Autocorrect gone wrong.
Yeah, I've read it. It's very,
so
very funny. Yeah.
We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your hosts, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Nate Wood, and me, Sybil. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Got a question? Now's a great time to give us a call. David and Tammy are here to give you expert advice for free, or you can send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733.
And on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, we have a great question. I have three vehicle payments, a Harley payment, a car, and a company van. My wife wants an Edge Sport, and pardon me, the Harley and the car, I owe about 10 grand. Should I pay off one of the vehicles or put my money on Edge payments? Total's not an issue. I make good money. Ray the Locksmith. Hello, Ray.
Hello,
sounds
Ray.
Like you're self-employed and you should lease.
Well, for sure. Yeah. No, that is absolutely, that's a good point.
Actually, we can break that down for you, Ray, and it sounds like it might be a little more detailed than maybe everybody else wants to listen to, but I didn't mean to interrupt you, Dave.
You're doing fine. Go.
Well, what I was thinking is you could pay off those two vehicles by rolling that money maybe over to the Edge or as much as possible, and then we max out the Edge lease, and even if you want to own it, we have some lease-to-own leases available. Especially this would work for you if you're self-employed. We can go into all the details if you would call our 972-234-1234 office.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you've got any business application on that Edge, maybe even 51%, mm-hmm. then you could write that payment off after rolling those other two into. I mean, it just works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, folks.
We can go into
can
all the details.
It.
But
yep.
Where you put your money as far as buying them, it doesn't matter. But if you're interested in looking at the lease and having a little bit of a tax write-off for your, since you're self-employed, then maybe the lease could work for you and we can show you how it'll work where you could still own the car at the end.
There you go.
If that makes sense. It's kind of convoluted. I probably didn't really answer your question at all.
No, I think that helps. And he can always call 972-234-1234 to get specifics.
You could call me on Monday. You can call today. We have plenty of people there today that would answer your question and show you how this would work.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, the Dodge Challenger, they have a recall right now because of the power assist on the steering on certain models. Probably the easiest way to find that out would be to go to a Dodge Challenger forum, and there's lots of information right there online.
Oh, and I just thought about it again. If you're down to $10,000 on those other cars, you've already paid the majority of the interest, so you might as well let that little loan amount ride out, right? And then start new on your other loan because you've already paid the majority of the interest up front on a car loan. Doesn't work that way on a lease. And about 9:30, we're going to go into the mechanics of a lease and what it really does for you. So stay tuned.
And how the money works on one, which yes. is sort of interesting because yes. most people don't realize that. And we've got a story that relates to that from General Motors. So we'll do the GM story and then talk about the reality.
But right now, let's talk about the Environmental Protection Agency.
Our good friends at the EPA have just released new rules that are going to require cleaner gasoline, and that's going to be done by lowering the sulfur content in gasoline. And basically what they're going to do is require that the whole nation have the same sulfur content that California requires now. And a couple of interesting things. Number one, it's going to cost money, so it's going to push the price of gasoline up.
Mm.
Now, interestingly enough, the EPA says it won't push it up hardly at all. The manufacturers of oil that know how much it's going to cost, the gas companies, because they're already doing it in California, they say it could cost up to 25 cents a gallon more. Because of the additional work required to remove the sulfur.
So that removes the sulfur that makes cleaner gas. Does it have anything to do with fuel efficiency at the
same
time?
No, it has only to do with air pollution. Okay. Only to do with air pollution. So we've already reduced our air pollution 99% from where it was in the 70s.
Well, don't you guys feel like that will eventually affect our prices? I mean, if it affects the oil companies' cost, I believe they'll pass that right on down to us.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Is the EPA our friend?
Well, I mean, they just continue to
friend of the air or friend of the pocketbook.
I think the best quote I read was that there was a tsunami of regulations coming out of the EPA. And all of these will result in higher cost to consumers, because that's what happens when you regulate an industry and you acquire it to do more. They pass those costs down to the consumer. It's
maybe
funny
that
people
gas
don't realize
is more
that
in California because they have these low sulfur
that's
gases.
Part of it.
Well, part of it is, but the other reason is they tax the heck out of gas in California because they use that gasoline tax to counter a lot of the spending that the state does. So, interestingly enough, the automotive manufacturers came out this week, and they are perfectly thrilled about the additional requirements to the EPA. Why? Because it will require them to put less engineering into the air quality coming out of the tailpipe. So, it sort of shifted the burden and the cost of lowering emissions from the manufacturers to the oil companies.
So then maybe we save a little bit on the cost of buying the car instead of on the gas.
What country do you live in?
Well, I mean, that if
makes
they
sense
don't have to,
me. To
spend the money for that technology, that at least won't raise the price of the new car in that little area.
Yeah, it won't in that little area. So the manufacturers love
it. Just looking for a silver lining there, Dave.
The oil companies hate it, and I don't care whether either one of them do. By 2017, everybody's going to be having lower sulfur in their gas.
Okay, the bottom line is they just shift the cost around from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, that's what happened.
Right.
Yeah. But it's interesting because you've got, you know, these two big industries, and one of them loves it, the other one hates it, and it's all for the same reason. You know, it just costs them less money or it costs them more money.
What do you guys think, if anybody's listening?
Price of gasoline. What does everybody think about that? Because it's actually down about 30 cents a gallon from where it was a year ago.
That's good.
But it's when I was a kid, it didn't cost 30 cents a gallon. So, I mean, it's amazing. One of the other things, I was in conferences this last week in New York, just before the New York Auto Show. There were a number of industry people there. And one of the other things that came out was that now when the price of gasoline goes up, it does not impact the economy near as much as it did during the first run-up in 2008 when it went sky high instantly. Everyone quit buying cars. That put the car industry in the dumper for a while. People quit buying cars. People quit buying cars at auction. The values of all the cars started dropping. Residual values, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes, they started dropping because no one that put resale value on cars wanted to put a high resale value on cars when they were dropping in value precipitously.
Good
each
word.
Week. Yeah. So anyway, we're out there, and this is a talk, industry talk about the price of gasoline and how it affects consumers. And we have sort of become calloused. We got so used to being jerked around that now when gasoline goes way up, it affects you, but it doesn't really affect you a whole lot.
That's why it doesn't affect the economy
as much? Because at first people just stop spending.
Right.
Oh, my God. You know, because I'm spending $100 a month for gas. Now I'm spending $250.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference. Well, now when it goes up, it's like, gas went up again.
Well, hopefully people have adjusted what they're driving to this up and down flexibility of the
I think a lot of people
prices.
Have. And I remember, Tammy, whenever this first happened, probably 4 years ago, maybe five, and you had said people stop spending, but what they don't realize is in order to keep the economy going, we got to keep putting money into it. So you've got to go spend.
We are the economy.
Exactly.
When the economy's bad, it means nobody's spending money. When the economy's good, it means everyone's spending money.
It's hard to do, though. It's hard to take that plunge.
It is.
When you're looking at your gas pump going, I don't want to spend anymore.
You know, right after 9/11, President Bush sent everyone in America $600.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did was keep the economy going. At the same time, General Motors offered 0.0 financing.
Mm-hmm.
Never in the history of the world had that been offered before. It kept the economy going. That was the same General Motors that we trashed and drug through the mud a few years later. But they really started the movement to keep the automotive business in business and keep the economy moving forward. So it was an interesting thing.
What do you mean capitalism works? Is that what you're... anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, it does. It does.
The businesses will help all of us keep going because they need to stay in business. So
right.
The big ones that have enough control will definitely help us keep going. Well, I appreciate the government doing their part and giving us some of our money back.
Yeah. Speaking of the government, what was the former CIA chief up to lately?
Well, James Woolsey, who was the chief of the CIA, he was the Secretary of the Navy. In fact, he held several high-level positions within the government. Chief of the CIA, or head of the CIA, is very high, was at a conference this last week speaking about energy independence. And his basic take on it was that there was no way to become energy independent because OPEC still controls 78% of the oil in the world. So even though we try to save all the gasoline we can, as long as they control 78% of the oil, there's no way to have them not control the price of oil. Because if we get more efficient over here, they simply cut back on production there. If we produce more oil here, they simply put more oil on the market there. So it counters pretty well anything we do. And they're still in control of the energy prices. And I think he's right. I don't think there's much we can do to do that. It does make us feel good to have more efficient cars. And it does cost less money at the pump and saves you money. So more efficient cars are a great idea. Mm-hmm. But from an energy independence standpoint, his point was that there's not really a whole lot you can do to control a market that you don't control.
Right.
So.
Isn't OPEC is a government agency, right?
OPEC, no. OPEC is the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Companies.
Oh, okay.
Saudi Arabia, the companies in the Middle East.
Gotcha.
That have 78% of the oil reserves. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Instead of the whole country conforming to California, why can't they change the rest of the country? Well, I mean, I think everyone wants cleaner air. And what you're seeing is just efforts to make the air cleaner. California has, they at one time had the most polluted air in the country, and they've taken a lot of very radical moves to clean their air up, and it's worked. Mm-hmm. So now the rest of the country is conforming to what California did.
Gotcha.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with clean air. I think it's going to cost us more money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, simple as that.
That's true. We just have to choose what we want. Clean air. I want clean air.
Yeah. Of course. All right, we got to take a quick break, but we will be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Nate Wood, and me, Sybil. Our phone number to the studio is 877-881-1053. Also, our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And if you're looking for a new car or if you want a certified pre-owned vehicle, one place to call, and it's Autoflex Leasing. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. If you're out of the area, autoflex.com if you want to do it by the computer. And you can also go to autoflex.com and see all of the stories actually that we're doing on the air, plus a lot more just automotive news. We publish that throughout the week, and then we gather the stories from that and we put it on the air.
That's right, on the Facebook page. Just click that link from autoflex.com.
Did I say Facebook?
I don't think you did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We talk a lot about resale values on this show, and General Motors has an interesting idea regarding resale values.
Well, here's the thing. They say that they want to save $200 million by increasing the resale values of their cars. And it's an interesting thing because resale values, and here's what they're saying, here's why they're saying it, they will not have to subsidize their lease prices in order to sell more cars and be competitive if their cars have better resale value. And so that makes sense. Yeah, mm-hmm. If you've got a better resale value, then the lease will be less expensive, and it'll be competitive with other manufacturers' leases. Leasing is again, becoming a huge part of the American market right now for automobiles. That's the reason I was in New York last week, was to talk to other people in the industry about leasing and which way the market was going and some of the things that are going on in the market. A lot of the things that we've talked about here this morning came out of those meetings. So, but GM says they want to save $200 million by increasing their resale values and having higher residual values so they won't have to subsidize their leases to make them competitive. Now, here's how it works, and this is how a lease works. A car costs X number of dollars. you drive the car for 4 years, it's worth X number of dollars. The difference in the first X and the second X.
Let's make it Y.
Okay. The difference in the X and the Y are what you pay for the car. If you buy a car, it's the depreciation. If you buy that same car, it works the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no magic. So if you go out and buy a $20,000 car that's worth $10,000 in 3 years, you're going to pay $10,000 in depreciation. When you sell the car for $10,000, it's cost you $10,000.
Or you give it back to the bank.
Or you give it back to the bank. It's just the same. Now, what they're saying is they want to maintain or raise the resale value on their cars, and there's good reason. There's a lot of their cars that they just don't lease any of at all, basically. In fact, only 1% of their Impala build-out was actually marketed through leases. So they're wanting to increase that business, and they're wanting to increase the resale to make those leases more attractive. Here's why they're more attractive. The higher the resale, the lower the lease payment. That's why traditionally there are a number of cars. The Asian cars have really strong resale values. Some of the luxury cars have really strong resale values. So those real strong resale values mean that when you look at whether you're going to buy the car or lease the car, the lease payment is very, very attractive.
But the main reason, the main way that they will get there is limiting where they're selling those cars and not putting them into fleet use, rental car service. When you flood the market, you have diluted the value of your car because the more of them there are available,
the less they're worth.
The less they're worth.
So it comes down to supply and demand. In one part of the equation is supply and demand. For years, a lot of the manufacturers, especially the finest example is probably Lincoln, they sold so many cars into rental car service that when those cars came out on the market, they hurt the value of all of the cars that were being sold like that at the time because there was a plethora, a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
So GM has to show great discipline and not fall victim to selling those cars into fleets for airport use, for rental car use, for that kind of thing. They have to maintain a low level of manufacturer and maintain a low level of resale cars hitting the market in order to get that residual value up. And they desperately need to do that in order to be competitive. Because if you looked at one of their cars that's a $25,000 car and another car that's a $25,000 car, the other car is liable to cost $50 less in a lease than theirs is simply because of the resale value.
But they have to go through a little bit of pain up front by not overselling or selling too many of their vehicles right mm-hmm. up front in order to help the consumers and help themselves in the long run. It's a tough thing. They have to really have some self-control. But we saw this work for all pre-owned cars after the financial crisis when people stopped buying cars. Well, that means they stopped trading in cars,
mm-hmm.
which means there was a shortage of used cars available on the market. So
and
those values rose.
Yeah, and we're still looking at that. Used car values haven't dropped in the last 3 years percentage-wise as a percentage of their initial cost. They just haven't dropped.
Because we haven't quite recovered from...
And the people that leased cars in 09, 08, 09, and early 10... Now they all have equity in those leases because the residual value forecasters had pulled those numbers way down. Instead of having a 40% residual, they dropped it to 30% because back then the market was terrible on resale. Well, now those people actually have equity in those cars. So if you're driving a lease right now that you leased in 08, 09, early 10.
Especially from us.
Well, anywhere.
Those longer leases.
But yeah, anywhere, you've got equity in the car. Don't give it back to the bank.
Right.
Because they want it back. They want to sell the car because there's money.
Some of the factory programs, they did enhance their residuals. So you might not have equity in a 3-year lease from Toyota, say.
Right.
Because they already set their residuals so high that maybe the car will be worth about that when it comes back off lease, but certainly not before the lease is up.
And I don't want to be too complicated, but residual is resale value.
Yes.
And they forecast the resale value, and that's how they calculate the difference in what you pay for it and what it's worth at the end. So mm-hmm. what you pay for it versus what it's worth in the end is the depreciation. That's the part you pay for in the lease. The residual value is what it's worth when you trade it back in. That's the part that you either get to keep by selling the car or paying the car off, or if you give it back to the bank, they sell the car. And if there's equity in the car, they keep it.
Now, there's a few more benefits to leasing. When the market does take a plunge and your car's value tanks mm-hmm. for whatever reason, then you can give the car back to the bank and you don't lose. If you purchase that same vehicle and you want to trade it in, you do lose the money that based upon what market values are. Okay. But you can't, that's a win. You also are protected in the event that maybe somebody runs into
You know, the other thing, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, if you had an accident, let's say somebody runs into you on the highway or in the parking lot, or you get into the hailstorm, you know, something totally beyond your control, that damages your car. This also diminishes the value of your car, whether you own it or lease it. It doesn't matter how it's financed. When it comes time to give the car back to the bank now takes that loss of value rather than you if it's a lease. If you own the car, then you experience the diminished value.
The other thing that is great is the people that had leased their cars going into 08, 09, when those cars were coming out of lease in 08, 09, those cars were worth nothing.
Well,
but the residuals were guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So had you bought that car when you came to the market with it and you were going to sell it, you would have not gotten near as much for it as the residual value that you were guaranteed in the lease.
And so, this happened a lot, especially with Tahoes and Suburbans, the big SUVs that were, you know, terrible on fuel. So the economy and the gas, all of that was happening at the same time. The people who were able to just turn their car back in suffered no loss. They got out scot-free. But those who bought the cars, we saw the people that were anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 upside down at that time in the market.
Yeah. So it made a huge difference. Leases give you a guaranteed resale value, and that can protect you when the market changes. We saw big market changes in the last 5 years, and the leases did protect people. A lease is sort of the best of both worlds because if the resale value is great on the car, you can always buy the car and sell it yourself and keep the money, which is what anyone that's got a lease that's 3 or 4 years old should look at right now.
First, you have to buy it from the bank.
You have to buy it from the bank, and then you can resell it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the market is tanked on the car for whatever reason, say they figure out a way to convert Coca-Cola into gasoline. Well, Coke's a lot cheaper.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, then
for now.
then you can sell your Tahoe and I mean, and you can simply give it back to the bank and you don't have to worry about it. Interestingly enough, there was a lot of talk out of the meetings I went to in New York. Interesting, Fantext, Autoflex Leasing Fantext, what about alcohol-fueled cars? That's ethanol cars, and what he's speaking of. And there are an abundance of those, say in South America. In fact, in Brazil, I think probably upwards to 80% of their cars run on ethanol because they distill it from sugarcane down there. They work. The current cars that we have now don't do well with a lot of ethanol in the fuel, especially not pure ethanol, because it dissolves a lot of the seals or it causes additional wear on a lot of the parts. It doesn't lubricate as well. So
how do they deal with it down there?
They build the cars for it. They design the car to run on ethanol. That's how it's built. So James Woolsey, the ex-head of the CIA, he suggested that compressed natural gas was the way to go and to move away from petroleum and move toward compressed natural gas. But he didn't suggest that we run it as gasoline. He suggested that it be converted to liquid compressed natural gas and then run the cars on that. And the conversion cost to do that is about $100 a car. And there's an abundance of gas, and gas is very, very cheap. We have enough natural gas, they say, to last at least 100 years, maybe more than that, and it's a lot cheaper than oil.
Seems like an easy fix then. Why don't we just switch?
Well, and it's just like it's sort of like the subsidy to the farmers for
corn.
Corn, right. Yeah, the corn subsidies. They're using corn to make ethanol with. It makes everyone's price higher for food, for a number of things, but we continue to subsidize those. He said that was another thing that he said was we should probably stop that subsidy because it makes no sense. It's saving us money in one area, but it's costing most of us money in other areas.
Gotcha. All right, we got to take a quick break, but we will be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. It is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your hosts, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Nate Wood, and me, Sybil. Our phone number to the studio, this is your last chance to call, 877-881-1053, or you can send us AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text at 43733. You can also call AutoFlex, and what are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, or AutoFlex.com on the World Wide Web. And you can go to AutoFlex.com. You can apply for a lease. You can find out about leasing. You can
schedule a test drive.
You can drive three or four cars at one time like you did, Sib.
Yeah.
You can do all of that right there at AutoFlex.com. It's really fast and easy. You can use AutoFlex.com on your home computer, on your tablet, or on your iPhone or smartphone, and it works just the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, I did. I was going back and forth between a Beamer, a Lexus, and an Infiniti, and I got to drive them one right after another so that I had a good feel of what the previous car was like. Because a lot of times if you go to that particular brand, you spend your whole day there, and then the next weekend you go to another brand and you don't really remember. You're like, wait, did I like the comfort of that one, or was it fast? I don't remember. And so this way you get to try them all out in the same place, and they deal with every make and every model. So it's not just high-end brands. You can get Honda and a Toyota and a Kia right after one another if you want to.
Right. Well, you know, we lease, I mean, if you looked at the cars we actually lease more Hondas and Toyotas than we do anything else. But that has more to do with their resale value.
Mm-hmm.
The better the resale value, the more efficient the lease. The other thing is we've got these little pockets of business that we do where if you wanted a Land Rover, we're the best place in the world to get a Land Rover. I mean, they're cheaper with us than they are with anybody.
Right.
So it's just according to the car you're looking at as to the greatest deal you can find. But the majority of the cars that we lease have great resale value. As a result, the majority of the cars we have on our pre-owned car lot have got great resale value. And the other thing that's sort of interesting, pickups have great resale value no matter what, basically.
Yeah.
People just love their pickups. So we've always got a really, really good supply of pickups.
Trucks are useful.
Yes, they are.
They haul people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Most people get them, though, just because they want a crook.
Just because they what?
I want a crook.
Maybe from us.
Right.
But they are, and then when they buy them used, then they're work trucks.
Yeah, then they're work trucks. Okay, interesting story came out this last week on Run Flat Tires, and they have discovered that Run Flat Tires don't last as long as just regular tires.
Seems like common sense to me.
Well, they're designed so if you have a flat that you can drive on.
Right.
But you have to give up some things. And it seems like it turns out that they're more susceptible to flats because of blowouts. So it's really sort of interesting. We've known that they cost a lot more. And we've talked about on the show about advising people, if you're getting a car with run flats, to understand that it's going to cost you more to replace those tires. In fact, quite a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So we've advised people for a long time to consider that when you're getting, just like as Tammy's always talking about, certain wheels and tires if you want to customize the car.
Well, sure. I've had plenty of clients, you know, they're budget conscious, but then they like those 20-inch rims.
Yep.
I'm like, but that's not budget conscious because I promise you, when you go to replace those tires, they're going to be at least 30% more expensive
mm-hmm.
than just the standard size tires and wheels. Plus, why would you put something on there that maybe somebody else might want a little more than you while you're at the movie theater?
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, here's the numbers from the study, and it's really sort of stunning. Out of 30,000 responses from owners of new 2011-2012 models covered by original equipment tires, they had a failure rate of having to replace at least two run flats in the first 16,000 miles compared with regular tires, which were replacing two tires in the first 22,559 miles. So that's really quite a lot more failure rate, quite a lot higher failure rate on the run flats.
And if you have any question about that, visit a BMW dealer. Look at buying one of their BMWs that have the run flat tires and see if they don't push really, really hard on that tire and wheel warranty.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's important.
Because
yeah.
when those things blow, and I strongly suggest getting that, you know, you're spending $500 or $600 for that program, and then it takes care of the tire issue
mm-hmm.
altogether. So when you're looking at expensive tires, get that extra little peace of mind. We sell it too.
Right. Yeah. Tire and wheel warranty is, you know, it's one of the more efficient warranties you can get because it's not real expensive.
You hit a pothole, it's covered, you know, rather than you paying out of your pocketbook, you hit a curb.
And tires and wheels are very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're the one, that's the one thing that is basically being used
every time you use the car.
Yeah, and it's receiving the most abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you definitely want to have good tires on your car. Anytime it rains, you want the maximum tread. You don't want to be running around on Maypops.
Maypops.
Okay.
It may pop.
It could. A couple of Autoflex Leasing fan texts. Also, with the big wheels, you should really upgrade your brakes to a bigger brake kit. Mm. The cars are harder. They have a harder time stopping with large wheels.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Smart listeners.
We appreciate that.
Good to know.
Why don't you lease pre-owned cars? There are pre-owned car leases. It's according to whether or not it makes sense.
Yes.
And you can also do balloons on used cars, which means that it's a purchase, but you still have the advantage of the residual-based financing, which gives you a lower monthly payment.
When we can talk about that more in upcoming shows, because we do a whole lot of that.
Now, I pulled this offline last night. Balance the energy in your car with, how do you say this?
Feng shui.
Feng shui.
Are you familiar with feng shui?
I'm becoming that way.
Uh-huh. Nathan, do you know what it is?
The only reference I know is from Bad Boys, where he goes into his, and he accidentally ingested something, so he's kind of loopy, and he's like, your house is very feng shui. He's like, you mean feng shui? And he's like, yeah, yeah, feng shui.
I wasn't sure if the guys on the show would know what it meant. But yeah, it's kind of like, I think it's Japanese, and it's balancing the energy of your home by placing your furniture in certain directions. Like you want your bed to always face the east so that the sun rises when you wake up, and you never want to have dead plants in your house because it brings you bad energy. You don't want to have unlit candles. You have to light them first so that it like breaks it in. It's all these weird little things that you can do.
That's a little weird stuff. So here's a little more weird stuff for your car. You could have stagnant chi in your car.
Ooh,
yes.
I don't want any stagnant chi.
It's caused by visual clutter, dirt, disarray, stuff that you don't use or needed repairs. Maybe this was a car company that put this out.
Repair your fluid leaks. Like a dripping bathroom sink in the house, they are a constant drain of your positive chi.
Don't park in front of your garage because you block positive energy. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not making fun of this, but I'm just saying, this is pretty far out.
I can see the clutter part, because clutter does make you anxious. It makes you feel like
you're kind of
stressed about, oh gosh, I have so much to do. I have to clean this out, and I have to go wherever I'm going in my car.
Okay,
so,
what about keeping
that one
symbols
sense.
Of protection in your car, like a dragon?
On or
in the car. Does that work like one of those little Christmas trees?
Yeah, maybe so. I see those dream catchers hanging from people's rearview mirrors all the time.
What are those for?
It's supposed to be when you sleep at night, it catches your nightmares. It's like an Indian or a Native American thing.
Well, it said dream catcher, not nightmare catcher.
I know, but that way it like supports your dreams and
makes
them good.
If you want to learn about
it, catches the dreams and lets the nightmares escape.
If you want to learn about chi in your car, feng shui and good chi, you can go to the Autoflex Leasing Facebook page and see that story there. Autoflex Leasing fan texter, my wife has a Prius with nitrogen in the tires. Does this make a difference in MPG? Not that I know of. It does make a difference in the expense of filling those tires with air, though. I can tell you that for sure. Well, I don't know that it has anything to do with MPG.
Yes, here's the deal. It's supposed to not leak out and change the tire pressure as easily as just plain old oxygen. And then if your tires stay at the correct PSI, then the fuel economy will be better. So, yes, I think it might.
Autoflex Leasing fan texter, good grief indeed.
That's about the feng shui, I guess.
Yeah, finally a story out of York, Pennsylvania. There was a dog that was left in a running car, and the dog put the car in gear, and he hit a pedestrian.
Whoops.
Now, I've heard of dogs putting cars in. This is the first story I've read where the dog actually hit somebody, but it wasn't really the dog. The pedestrian jumped in the way, basically, because he saw the dog in the car, and the car was rolling, and the dog was looking out the window. I don't know if he was texting or not. He was looking out the window, so the guy ran over to try to stop the car before it hit a truck, and he didn't survive. Well, he survived. He didn't keep the car from hitting the truck, but he did get hurt in the meantime. So, I don't know.
I say let the car hit the truck.
Doggone it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I think the moral of the story is don't leave your dogs in your cars, people.
With the car running especially?
I mean, it was probably cold. It's in Pennsylvania this time of year. He maybe had the heater on for the dog. But just don't leave your dog in your car. You're not supposed to do that anyway. So that you would avoid wrecking your car, wrecking another guy's car. He probably has to pay for this dude's hospital bills. And your poor dog was probably scared to death.
Traumatized.
Yes. So there is my advice for you.
Bow, wow, wow.
Dog. Yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
I had the craziest dog in the car experience ever right before I got my Ford Edge. Chris was wonderful enough to let me test drive one before I got the color that I wanted, before he, you know, went out and got the color I wanted. And I needed to take my dogs to the vet for shots. And I felt like I needed to pull this car out of the garage and load them in from the driveway. And so I had the vehicle half under the garage door. The hood part was under. Well, like, you know, I'd pulled out of the garage. So if you close the garage door, it would close on the hood.
Oh, okay.
And I had the remote in the seat and I loaded the dogs in the car. Sure enough, the dog jumps into the front seat and hits the garage door.
Uh-oh.
And it starts to close.
Oh, no.
And I run around and, well, just the stuff that went through my mind. I really wish there'd been a video camera. It was one of the craziest thing ever. So I catch the garage door, you know, because it'll stop if it hits something. So I run over there because I'm thinking to myself, I guess I'm getting this silver Edge.
Right.
You know, all this stuff's going through my mind. I guess I'm not getting the white one. I guess I'm going to take this one if I crash the hood and stopped it and the whole nonsense. Yeah. Don't park your car under a garage door if you're loading your dogs in the car.
Yeah. You needed your dash cam for that one.
I really did. It was crazy.
Oh, that wraps up our show today, but you can still call AutoFlex Leasing. They are open for your business, 817 or 972-234-1234. Coming up next, Kevin and Corey live from the Mudbug Bash in downtown Dallas. I will see you out there later. Thanks to Nathan Wood. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I am Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is beautiful. Has such a warm feel, you know? Sort of like a Vin Schwartz. Was it Mike, remember when it was a V, like a Bong Swole?
Why don't you have a seat?
Vin Rains or...
Feng Shui.
Von Shui. You have a Von Shui.